Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, to this special service from Zurich, we greet all of you worldwide, all who live worldwide in the dispersion, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though we get every day closer to the glory of God, yet we thank the Lord that we can still live in the time of grace and in peace. What a grace that God has chosen and predestinated us to hear the message which serves for our completion. May the Lord grant it that we until the end hold fast to the true doctrine, that we are part of the overcomers to the bride of the Lamb at his return. May the good shepherd right now strengthen his faithful servant, the aged servant. May he bless and anoint his lips through which he will then speak to us. May the today's sermon become a great remaining blessing for us. May the Almighty plant and bless his word so that we also experience the heard things. Before we pray, I would like to read a word from Romans 9. I read the verses 15 to 33. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture says unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and in that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore has he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will have hardened. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath, to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also cries concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Sein Vertrauen setzt, wird nicht zu Schanden.
It's written here,
dass alles,
that everything is unmerited grace. It is not on somebody's willing or running, but it depends on God's mercy. Today, we want to make ourselves available to God. Without Him, we can do nothing at all. May the Lord also out of us make vessels for His glory. Now let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, together we look up to You, from where our help comes. Thank You, Lord, that Your everlasting gospel and Your finished work of redemption is a reality, and we may rest in it. O God, remember the covenant which You made with us, of the blood which You shed for us. All the promises which You have given to us, and give us Your eternal life. We are grateful that Your right hand is still exalted and upholds the victory. Let us no more look on the visible things, but let us look only on You. What a hope and confidence that You will return in great glory, and we may all look on You. Bless, strengthen and keep our beloved brother Frank in a special way, and touch him especially according to the body. Bless all of Your blood-bought flock all over the earth, and place us anew on the ground of faith and victory. Lord, You are so good. Your grace never ends, and Your faithfulness is valid forever. Lord, we commit everything else into Your blessed Father hands, and we trust You that the best is yet to come for us. To You, the only true God, belongs all the glory, all the praise, all the honor, thanks and worship in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Also, I would like to welcome all of you very warmly in the precious name of the Lord. We are grateful to God that we can have these meetings, grateful for the word of introduction which Brother Baumgartner has read, the terms were emphasized: grace, election, promises, faith. Every scripture has a core, and again a core. All are meaningful, and it's worthwhile, really, to read every scripture once again and to thank the Lord for it. Today is a very special day for me. Firstly, I would like to greet all in Switzerland, all brothers and sisters in Switzerland. Since more than 50 years, I was here on every last Sunday of a month. More than 600 sermons I preached here. And now these sermons are broadcast worldwide. But I think I may say here, since 1961, when I, for the first time, together with my brother Helmut, I traveled to Switzerland, to Zurich, to participate in a meeting of the full gospel businessmen. Since that time, my heart remained here. And we are joined so deeply with one another. And today, I would like to express my thanks that right Switzerland shares in the expenses which came up worldwide in this great missionary work. They share in it. May God bless you. Also all neighbors in Austria. God bless you. In the three German-speaking countries, we started. And then it went into all the other neighboring countries. And God, from the very beginning, He opened the doors, the hearts. And so the word of the Lord reached all the ends of the earth. So, throughout all these years, I liked to come to Zurich. And we assume that once in a month there can be again meetings, although I personally cannot come, yet meetings could take place, whether with transmissions or whether the brothers can serve with a word. May the will of the Lord be done in all things. This is our sincere wish. May the will of the Lord be done. And coming back to the word of introduction, it started with grace. Whom God is merciful, to him is merciful. And on whom he has compassion, on him he has compassion. Whom he saves, whom he heals, whom he reveals himself, whom he commissions. We are totally depending on God, as our Lord himself has said. Not I am the one, but the Father in me who does his works. And the same Lord who in John 5:19 said, the same Lord has said, without me you can do nothing. The greatest man of God can do nothing without the blessing of God, without the instructions of God. He can do nothing. And today, we will briefly go into it, that the Lord, with the ministry of Brother Branham, he did not make the finishing, But there was a continuation, and the Lord himself will finish his work. But let me just briefly come to the time in which we live now. All of us, we feel the perplexity of what is going on. And we now have exactly 1 year passed since the Abraham Accord was signed. And we look to the Middle East. We look to Israel. And for this, we'll just now read two scriptures. The one concerns the global warming. It was really predicted. More than 2,850 years ago, it was predicted by the prophet Isaiah what would take place when the Lord binds up the breach of his people Israel. That the sunlight would be seven times brighter. And we speak of global warming. We speak of climate change. We seek for solutions. There is no solution. The scripture must and will be fulfilled. Important is that we recognize in what time we really arrived. And all of us, we know what our Lord said in Matthew 24, what he foretold, what would happen until the return and after the return of the Lord, what would happen on the earth. But let us read now the two scriptures from the Old Testament. Please. We read from Isaiah 30, verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound.
Und die ihm geschlagene Wunde heilt.
Ja. Bitte schön.
Wir lesen noch aus
We also read from Joel,
vierte Kapitel,
chapter 3,
Vers 1,
verse 1
und 2.
And 2.
Denn wisse wohl,
For behold,
in jenen Tagen,
in those days,
und zu jener Zeit,
and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Thanks be to the Lord that in Bible prophecy All things were foretold which must come to fulfillment. No prophecy of the scripture, no promise will remain unfulfilled. And we all know the people of Israel was scattered among all the Gentiles. And just as we read it, and we could take other scriptures to it, that God at the end of days gathers his people from all nations and peoples and would bring them into their homeland. There were certain days in the course of church history, in the course of history in general. We don't want to go here into details, but there was a 14th of May 1948, when Ben-Gurion declared the State of Israel. And brothers and sisters, we thank the Lord God that he watches over his word and fulfills what he promised, whether on Israel, whether on the church, whether on the nations, whether in the spiritual realm, whether in the natural realm. Everything comes to fulfillment as it is written. Even in the short passage which Brother Baumgartner has read, six times it was made reference to the Old Testament. In the few verses, six times it was referred to the Old Testament. In the New Testament, over and again, it was made reference to that what was foretold in the Old Testament and what is written therein. How grateful we can be that we found grace in the sight of God. As already emphasized in the first verse, when the Lord God said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And if we then think on the words of Moses, who has sent his prayer from his heart up to God, O God, if I have found grace in thy sight, then let me know thy ways. And then it is written, God let Moses know his ways and to the children of Israel his acts. God used always men
in seinem Plan beschlossen hat,
to whom he could say and announce that what he decided in his plan. And brothers and sisters, I just want to make one remark which probably doesn't fit here. Whoever denies God, he shall think about. He shall really think about. I belong to those who have very little time to watch the news. But at 22 hours, that's how I decided I want to watch the news. And in the past days, there were the news, and afterward, there was a very short interview with somebody who strives for a high position in the government in Germany. And the questions which he was asked, he answered them in a very elegant way. And the last question he was asked was, do you believe in God? And the answer was, no. I thought the lightning strikes me. Really? I thought the lightning strikes me. A man who gives reasonable answers to the questions. And then, the last question, do you believe in God? And then he says, no. I thought, this is impossible. How can they be men in a country, in a Christian country, where all celebrate Christmas, celebrate Good Friday, Easter, Pentecost, a Christian country? And then one of the great politicians, that he does not believe in God. Do we need such men in the government? Please pardon me this remark. Forgive me. Let us come to the matter. It's really grace. Not only believe in God, in the Creator of the heaven and earth, in Elohim, in the only true living God, who spoke the universe into existence, and who then revealed himself in a visible shape of appearance as Lord, as Yahweh. We all know the creation report, and we know mostly the Old and the New Testament. The Lord God testified himself in the Garden of Eden, speaking with Adam. He was there in the cool of the evening. He came into paradise and spoke with the men, had fellowship with them. If Adam would have been asked, do you believe in God? Yes. What would his answer have been? Brothers and sisters, only if we met God personally, if we have heard his voice, his word, then we not only believe in God, then we believe what God has said in his word. And to this belong all who in this time believe the divine message
und von Herzen aufnehmen.
Und who receive it. Because he who believes God, as Abraham believed God, receives the promise. God does not go away with empty words. Every time when God has spoken something, he has given promises, instructions. God never makes empty words. And so we thank our Lord for all the prophets of the Old Testament who knew God personally, who have heard his voice personally, who have seen his glory. As the prophet Isaiah said, who then heard the voice that the Lord sent him. Brothers and sisters, there were people, yes, men of God in the Old and in the New Testament. How often I've said this in the past 55 years, loud and clear. At the present time, many are reporting of that what is happening today. So many gospel preachings, so many denominations, programs, evangelists, yes, the whole religious world is full of programs. But where is God? Where are the promises? Where is the Holy Scripture being fulfilled? Whom has God commissioned in our time to bring his word? Also this, we had to say it time and again. The New Testament begins with a supernatural working of God. There an angel Gabriel comes to Zacharias, to Mary. There the supernatural is happening all over. Because Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. And then a man of God comes on the scene at the River Jordan and declares the divine message. And then a delegation is sent to him. They should ask him who he is. And are you Elijah? No, I'm not. Art thou Christ? No, I'm not. Are you that prophet? No, I am not. Who art thou then? Who art thou? And then John gives the answer. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, verse 23, I am the voice of him who cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way for the Lord, make straight the path for our God. So, not only coming on the scene as an evangelist, but a divine commission, a ministry connected with a divine plan of salvation. And therefore, all who believed John the Baptist and his message, they did not only become believers, but they were baptized. This was the confirmation that they really believe. And this also our Lord emphasized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he who does not believe shall be damned. As we said it many times, and as Brother Branham emphasized many times, unbelief is the most terrible sin which exists on earth. Whoever doubts what God has said, and this Satan did, Satan questioned what God has said to Adam, and he entangled Eve also in it. Should God really have said? That's how doubt and unbelief came into existence. The fall, the separation from God, death, brothers and sisters. Therefore, Paul writes that in no one of you is found a heart of unbelief. Unbelief separates from God. Unbelief is deadly. Finish. Full stop. Finished. 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 No second sermon. Nothing. Whoever does not believe God makes him a liar. He drops out forever. Finish. And therefore, it is so important to believe what the Scripture has said. But not only to believe what the Scripture reports of what was said to Abraham, what was said to Noah, what was said to Moses, what was said to the prophets, what was said to Peter, what was said to Paul, or that what is written in the Bible, repeating it, but there must be a personal connection to God. It must be established. And the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Today, please permit me that I look back to a special day in my life. I know that not all like to hear when I report of supernatural experiences, but I can also testify that there are enough brothers and sisters who are so glad, who rejoice with all their heart, that with the ministry of Brother Branham, not everything came to its end, but that a continuation took place. Today, 1 week ago, was the 19th of September, a special day. 1976 in Edmonton, Canada. A special day, a Sunday. Brothers and sisters, this no man can imagine what it means to hear the voice of the Lord, really, with these ears, And I was thinking today and yesterday, I was thinking about it, that the voice of the Lord, please pardon me, when I say this here now so clearly, it sounds in a standard German. Never one, somebody could say, oh, this could be Bavaria, this could be Austrian, this could be Switzerland. Every time, absolutely every time, a clear, plain German, every single word pronounced. But this just by the way, brothers and sisters, the weekend, the 18th and 19th of September, 76, I will take over into eternity. It was really a Saturday when this brother Donny Bablitz visited me in the house. Where I was lodging. And he really spoke about that God, since the passing of Brother Branham, in all the years, he has done great things worldwide. And he said, Brother Frank, God could use you in all the world to bring the divine message. Tell me, should your ministry not be written in the Bible as the ministry of Brother Branham is written in the Bible? I cut him short. And I said, please stop. Stop to be on the blink. Stop it. Another subject now. And we came to speak about other subjects. This was on the Saturday at around between 10 and 11 o'clock in the morning. And at the end I said, how can my ministry be written in the Bible? And on the next morning, the sun was shining into the room. I was fully dressed. I reached over. I took the Bible. I stood up to read. And as you hear my voice, my servant, I ordained you according to Matthew 24, verse 45 to 47, to give out the food in due season. This is as true as God lives, as true as it is written in the Bible. Also the verses, 100%, they were mentioned. God the Almighty and the Holy Bible is my witness that God not only mentioned Matthew 24, but verse 45 to 47. You all know the other verses from 48 to 51 speak of the foolish servant who thinks of himself that he has also something to say, but this is not our business. It's always like this, that God sends his servant and the enemy sends then his own. to make the men of God untrustworthy. But now we read once again this text. Really, please, Brother Borg. Matthew 24, verse 45 to 47. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Thanks be to the Lord. Please forgive me that I started to speak too early. Thanks be to the Lord. Did you all read it? Did you read reverently? Until the 19th of September 1976, the question was, who then is, who is that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household? Who is? This was the question. Since the New Testament was written, who is the wise and faithful servant? Can I something for it? Could Brother Branham something for it to receive a divine commission? Could Paul, could Peter, could James, could any Moses, could any Isaiah, could any man of God something for it? Did I pray for it? Did I ever think of it? That the Lord would speak to me? Please. Believe me, not a single time. But God is God. And the Lord decides what he does. So, the question was, who then is this faithful and wise servant whom the Lord has made ruler over his household? Not only to preach the last message, but to say to all ministering brethren in the commission of God that they shall not go beyond that what is written in the Bible, that they don't come up with strange doctrines, no interpretations, no explanations. Not coming up and say, but the prophet has said. Everything what the prophet has said must be placed into the Bible. And the prophet said, don't receive anything if it is not written in the Bible. The prophet repeated Revelation 22 so often that to the written word of God nothing may be added and nothing may be taken away from it. Now just briefly, this was the commission of God. And my commission is really in a twofold way. You have not only known that since today, this you know since 55 years, what the Lord said on the 2nd of April 1962. Brothers and sisters, I say the truth before the Almighty God. I don't want to go into details of this mighty experiences when I was taken out of the body and I could see myself how I was spreading out my arms here. And I said the words, "Beloved Lord, they will not hear me." And the Lord gave the answer, "My servant, the time comes when they will hear you." But here are the 2 points. I will send you from city to city to preach my word. This was the first. And the second, a great famine is coming. Store in food and groceries. Also here we don't go into detail, but the prophet of God in our time on the 1st of April 1962, he said, "I cannot make the journey to Switzerland. I have to return to Jeffersonville to store in the food there." The same man of God said in the first seal that the food shall be stored in. In the seventh seal, 2 times he said, right at the beginning and right at the end. He said to Brother Neville at the beginning, "Now the food is stored in." And at the end he said, "If I will not do it, then God will have somebody whom he will use for it." But this man of God said to me on the 3rd of December 1962, "The food which you have to store in is the promised word for this time and is in the sermons which are recorded on tape." And then with emphasis, "Please wait with the giving out of the food until you get the rest of the food." Brothers and sisters, we are in the last part of the divine plan of salvation. We're not just any missionary work. No, we were ordained by God to preach the word, the pure, holy word. And then the promises which were given for this time up to the ministry of Brother Branham. Please, just look into all the world. How many charismatics, how many evangelists with their programs, has one of them ever referred to the promise which the Lord has given for our time? "Behold, I send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes." Has one of all these men ever spoke of that? what is now really important for the church. All remained in their Trinity doctrine, Trinity baptism, in their churches, in their denominations, in their missionary works. Not one of them came back to God, to the Word, to the message. And by grace, we may say, it pleased the Lord that I really, from the very beginning, right from 1949, when I for the first time of by Hall Herman, I heard what ministry William Branham has and what God is doing through him. Already there, my heart was beating. And there was something in me which I cannot explain. And so, God took care for it. Whether 1953, 1955, 1958, 1962, whether in all the years, God really took care that I received all the sermons of Brother Branham throughout all these years in which he was still alive. They were sent to me and I was directly informed about that, what God intends to do now. And brothers and sisters, to the Lord be the thanks. Before that, I had opened doors. I preached already in the 50s, 1958, in the neighboring countries. I preached. 1960, I should become the European manager of T.L. Osborne, who at that time was one of the greatest evangelists. But the Lord God laid everything in a wonderful way. You all know the other experiences. I don't have to say anything about it. Now I look back to all these years and I thank the Lord for all the open doors. And I have said how often I preached in the past 50 years in the city of Zurich. And I mentioned that also the sermons of the 80s can now be heard worldwide. But in the same way, the Lord opened the doors in all the neighboring countries. In Romania, I was exactly 30 times. In India, I was exactly 23 times. I made 17 million flight miles. I was every month on the way. I took everything upon myself, on me, every time difference, every night flight, everything what came and went, I took everything upon me to bring this last, final, holy message. And as Brother Branham emphasized, the end must be like the beginning was. God could use him to put the biblical doctrines in order about the Godhead, about water baptism, to place everything biblically. And we thank the Lord God for it, that we found grace with him, the Almighty, that the ministry which he fulfilled through Brother Branham, namely that a prophet would come as Elijah. And of Elijah it says that he rebuilt the altar and that God answered with fire, and the hearts of the people were turned back to God. The same happened in our time. The doctrine, the pure doctrine about everything, about election, all the promises. Let us take alone what Brother Baumgartner read. That speaks of grace, of faith, of promise. Everything is here. And true children of God have part in that, what God is doing right now. But also this, let it be mentioned, Brother Branham, feet stepped upon 15 countries, and with his voice the people heard the word of God. But it were all evangelistic preachings. Only after his passing the message, the whole revealed holy word was preached. And you all know how many scriptures we use in our sermons, joining Old and New Testament with one another. Nobody can something for it that God spoke out a commission. But I thank the Lord. And then it is written, if I send someone and you receive him, he receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. It's difficult for me to say, but from today on, may all know who laugh about a divine commission and who mock about it and who ignore it and who walk on their own ways, please ask whether you found grace in the sight of God. Whoever finds grace before God, him he lets know his way with his church until the perfection. He lets him know which commission William Branham carried out, and God confirmed it 1,000 times. And in the same way, now everybody knows, if it has been asked, who then is the faithful and wise servant? Since the 19th of September 1976, the Lord himself gave the answer. We will see where all will end up who bypass it, who make fun of it. We will see where they end up. And we will see where all will end up who now honestly and sincerely believing with all their hearts that we experience the last part of the plan of salvation personally, that we not only can report of that what God has done in the ministry of Brother Branham since 1933 until 1965, but that we can report of that what God has done since then in millions of people, in all peoples and tongues, by His grace. And there will be a innumerable number who believes with all their heart, who are called out, who are separated, and who bear the reproach together with me. Because all whom the Lord called, they go through slanders, they go through all kinds of things. But thanks be to the Lord, He has taken care for it, that we heard God's holy word in the original, and that we know when we speak of message that we mean God's holy word with it. And in the same way, let me once again say it, I will send you from city to city to preach my word. This is the first part. And then the Lord, at that time in Marseille, He drew my attention to that when He called out to me, "My servant, arise and read 2 Timothy 4 from verse 1 to 7. It is ordained for you." And there it is written, "Preach the word, be instant, in season or out of season." Brothers and sisters, I'm not telling you stories. I tell you what God has done by His grace in our time. May all ministering brethren respect with all their heart, that what God has entrusted to Brother Branham was entrusted to me, and that I, by the grace of God, could pass it on to all the household, all over the earth, in all peoples and tongues. And right at the end, there will only be one heart and one soul. No question will remain unanswered. The Lord Himself will arise and will finish His work of redemption, which in our time will come to its completion. Maranatha, the return of our Lord, is at the door. All the signs of the time, everything points to it. But for us, the main thing is to believe all promises of God, to receive and accept them. Once again, from Zurich here, we say to all peoples and tongues, the blessing of the Almighty God rest upon all of you, especially on the whole household, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. We stand up and thank together. Brother Borg will thank with us. Heavenly Father, we thank You with all our hearts for Your precious word which we have heard. We thank You for the ministry of Brother Branham, who stored in the food We thank you for the ministry of Brother Frank, for your faithful servant, whom you have given the commission to give out the food. We thank you that we may be ear and eye witnesses of this ministry. You have spoken to our hearts. We thank you for all the words of the Scripture. You have given us grace that we may believe what the Scripture says. It's not our merit. It's grace which you have given to us. Bless your people from Zurich, worldwide, all who have heard and who believe this message, this last message. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, Amen.